Thank you for joining us for worship here at Pleasant Valley South today. And I invite you to take your Bible, your smart pad, and look at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. I want to share with you today about facing failure in a fearful world. We begin with verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. Any good basketball coach will tell you that they want players who will follow their shots up, their missed shots, by going for a rebound. When we think about basketball, we think about a player who makes a shot. There's about three or four reasons somebody misses. Maybe their technique is off, or possibly somebody fouls that offensive player when they take the shot. Sometimes there's a player playing good defense against that offensive player and they miss their shot. But the coach always, always wants that offensive player to go for the rebound. I want you to know, when we look in Scripture, we'll find people who failed at certain points in their life, but they came back. I think about Abraham, who's called the father of the faithful. He failed when he went down into Egypt, and he told the king there that his wife was not his wife, but his sister. And you notice that he came back to receive the promise of God and became the father of the Hebrew race. I think about Jonah. He went the other direction from Nineveh when God told him to preach to the people at Nineveh. And we also know that he ran out of God's will, but he wasn't a failure because the word of the Lord came to him and Jonah was given a second chance. John Mark failed on a missionary journey when he went back home. He deserted Paul. He didn't go all the way on the missionary journey, but he wasn't a failure because we know from Christian history he became a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And later on, Paul shared in Scripture that Mark was one that he could count on. He had failed once, but he was not a total failure. We think about Peter. When he failed, he cursed and denied the Lord Jesus Christ, but he wasn't a failure because he came back. And we read in the book of Acts where he preached and 3,000 people were saved in one day. David failed when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he had her husband murdered. He tried to cover all this up, but later he came to the Lord with confession and repentance. He came back to be a great king, and he penned many of the psalms that minister to our hearts. Listen to me carefully. One of Satan's big lies that he gives to Christian people is this: God can never use you in kingdom work if you failed in this life. Simon Peter shows us from this passage that I read for you in Luke 5 that failure is actually a stepping stone to success. Here in Luke 5, we find a professional fisherman. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows where to fish. He knows what kind of nets to use. He knows how to have his boats equipped. And he has the experience. And he's fished all night and he's caught absolutely nothing. Now, let me ask you a question. why were they fishing and not catching anything all night? I think Scripture reveals to us that sometimes God teaches us a lesson. We think we have all this experience, all this wisdom, and all this knowledge. An issue comes along and we say, I've got this, and we fail to trust God. And what He does, He puts us in school at that point because He has some lessons He wants to teach us. So we find ourselves in failure. I want to share with you several principles that I promise you will help you overcome that and reach success. First of all, we experience failure in life, realize the presence of God. Look at verses 1 through 5. Now, prior to this time, Peter has been fishing, and he's been fishing, but Jesus is not on board the ship. Now, we see that when Jesus comes on board, that Peter acknowledges his presence. He knows that something is different because Jesus is on board the ship. Now, he doesn't have a lot of faith because he said, Lord, what good will it do if we go out casting the nets in the deep? Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we fail because we do not acknowledge God's presence in our lives. And listen to me carefully. If you're listening today, wherever you are, and Jesus is not on board as your Savior and your Lord, you're going to experience failures. Those of us who are saved, we realize the Holy Spirit indwells us, and the Bible also says if we ask Him for wisdom and discernment, He gives it to us as a free gift. It's just ours for the asking. So we've got to realize, as born-again believers, we have the presence of the Lord even when we go through failure. The second thing I want you to write down is this. It's in verse 6 and 7 that we need to rely always on the power of God. I want you to see there's a difference in having Jesus in your life and having Jesus Christ in control of your life. Notice here when Simon says, Master, that's what he called Jesus. When he says Master, that's actually a word that means Lord. It means not only did Simon acknowledge Jesus as Lord of his life, but he also acknowledged Jesus as master of his life and of this ship. He acknowledged Jesus not only as landlord, but sea lord, and he acknowledged Jesus as Lord of everything and Lord of all. I want to tell you, before you can appropriate the power of Jesus in your life, he's got to be Savior, and you've got to be surrendered to him as Lord of your life. Our neighborhood has all underground utilities. I love that because that usually protects you from power outages in a storm. Now, that's what you would think. Outside of our neighborhood, there's some foothills. There are lots of trees and woods. It's not unusual when we have a storm for some of those trees to fall on the power lines and we're without service. 2 hours, 5 hours, 7 hours, sometimes 8 or 9 hours. Finally, I called a gentleman in our church, one of our deacons, Scott Bailey, who owns an electrical company, and I said, I want you to come over and wire my house so I can use a Honda generator when the power goes out. I want you to know it made all the difference in the world. Power would go out, crank the generator, plug it in, do what I needed to do on the switch panel, and then we had heat. We could cook in our kitchen. We could even run the hair dryer and have lights. It makes a big difference. Ladies and gentlemen, it's one thing to be saved, but it's another thing to be surrendered and experience the power of God working through your life. That's what God desires for us. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, listen carefully, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the faith which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As long as it is I who does it in my life and not Christ who does it through me, it's going to end up in failure and nothingness. Third thing I want you to write down, we experience failure. We need to make sure that we humble ourselves before God and receive God's plan. Look at verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now, he told them two things. He said, first of all, I want you to look up. And then he said, the second thing I want you to do is launch out. When he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. Simon said, Lord, we've toiled all night and we haven't caught anything. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the nets. Listen to me carefully. We must accept God's plan for our lives. We must accept God's plans for our church. For example, in our church, we can get together with the staff and maybe the deacons and some other people in our church, and we can lay out the plans we have for the next 5 or 10 years. I'm going to make you a promise. If we just do that in the flesh, it's going to fail. If we do that under the leadership of the Holy Spirit about what God wants to do through us in this community, this state, this nation, and around the world, we'll be successful and God will get all the praise. Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. And he says, launch out into the deep. Underscore that, launch out. He says, I want you to take a step of faith. I want you to believe me. If you'll launch out in the deep and cast your nets, you'll catch so many fish, you're going to have to call for some other people that are out on the sea to assist you bringing this in. And that's exactly what happened. You know, I think about the children of Israel. So many times they were asked to look up and to launch out. Look to me, and I've got a plan. You think about when they were being pursued during the Exodus by the Egyptian soldiers. They had mountains on both sides of them. They were coming up on the Red Sea. And then they had the hostile Egyptians, the soldiers that were ordered to kill all the members of the children of Israel. And they were wondering, what in the world are we going to do? And God says, I want you to keep pressing forward. And then they were able to cross the Red Sea on dry land. And then all the Egyptian soldiers were engulfed when the sea was brought back together. Launch out into the deep where the big fish are. You know, hostage negotiators are always hopeful in bad situations that those situations can be resolved without the loss of life. Sometimes you can turn on Fox 5 News or Channel 2 in Atlanta and you see there's a hostage situation taking place. It may be a domestic-related problem. Sometimes we see on the national news there's been a hostage situation in New York or Washington, D.C. or Los Angeles or some other big metropolitan city. Listen to me carefully. The guys that work on the SWAT team, the hostage negotiators that are a member of that elite team, they're trained to do this. 80% of the time, they're listening. 20% of the time, these negotiators are saying to those criminals, those kidnappers, they're saying, talk to me. They want to keep those guys talking. Few of us will ever be called on to negotiate a hostage situation, but many conversations would be greatly enriched if we practiced the NYPD or the Atlanta Metro Police strategy. Listen and accept God's plan. God wants to attempt something great, and if he doesn't come through, if he doesn't move, if he doesn't work, then we are sunk. The other thing I want you to write down is this. When we react to God's promise, we need to react positively to God's promises when we're going through a failure. Look at verse 6. He says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. A catch of fish here is so great that the boats are sinking. That's how successful this catch became. Can you begin to envision Jesus as he told them, from now on, you will catch men. From now on, you will catch people. Can you imagine this church being so successful at fishing for men that the boat is so full, we have to call other churches to come alongside us in order to handle all the new disciples? Charles Haddon Spurgeon was one of the greatest preachers of all time. Not only did he have a powerful church and he was a man of prayer, but he also opened a school for young preachers. One day, a pastor of a very small church who was a student in his school of theology and pastoral ministries came to Spurgeon and he said, "You know, I don't understand." He said, "You preach in your church, and every time you give an invitation, people just coming to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord." He said, "In the little church where I preach," he said, "I preach my heart out. I give a passionate invitation, and nobody ever responds." He said, "Mr. Spurgeon, what do I need to do?" Spurgeon looked at the student and he said, "Do you really expect somebody to come forward after you preach every time you give an invitation?" And the student said, "No." And Charles Spurgeon said, "That's why they don't. That's why people never get saved, because you don't have that expectation and stand on the promise of God that when the seed is sown, it will not return void." 2019 marked the 100th anniversary of the NFL. There were lots of documentaries done about the most spectacular plays and the best coaches and the best players throughout all that 100 years. But I want you to know that the one play that was voted number one in the 100-year history of the NFL was Franco Harris's, what they call the Immaculate Reception. On December 23rd, 1972, the Oakland Raiders and the Pittsburgh Steelers were playing in the AFC division playoff game. The Steelers trailed Oakland 7-6 with 22 seconds left in the game. Well, it was fourth down for Pittsburgh. They were 60 yards from the end zone. Terry Bradshaw was the quarterback. He went back to pass. It's going to be the last play of the game. Two guys almost sacked him, and finally, he threw the ball down the field, and Oakland Raiders safety Jack Tatum jumped up to bat the ball down, and the ball was batted and it was going backwards and it almost touched the ground, and rookie Franco Harris caught it just inches from the ground into his arms, and he went 42 yards to score the winning touchdown. Time ran out, and I want you to know that Pittsburgh won 13-7. Here's what Franco Harris said later on. He said, "No matter how hopeless some things appear, you don't ever give up. Anything can happen. Steelers won on the last play." God meets us at the level of our expectancy. Let me ask you this question. When we're able to gather for worship, do you come expecting to truly worship God in spirit and truth? And then do you come expecting God to speak to you through His Word? Do you come to church and every time we give an invitation, are you praying and expecting somebody to walk down the aisle and give their heart and their life to Christ? You see, nothing happens in most of our services because we don't have any expectancy. God wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to His mighty power. I love what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 33:3. "Call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know anything about." Notice God wants to overflow us and bless us. Go back to verse 7 in Luke 5. And they call for the others to come and help them. And when God begins to bless us and overflow our lives, then we can be a blessing to other people. When you experience failure, here's what I want you to write down. We need to be receptive to God's purpose. I want you to see this in verse 8 through 11. There's a whole message here you could develop in these verses. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." That's a confession. Just mark that down. He said, "Man, I just hadn't trusted you enough." So that's a confession. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. I want you to look at this. They're crying out to God right now. This is a consecration. They said, the reason we had this catch of fish, I'm confessing my faith wasn't strong enough, but now this consecration, we've got to admit that the source of this catch is God. And then they go down a little bit further. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, their partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people." Write this down. There's a call from God for them to be involved in evangelism and making disciples the rest of their days on the face of this earth. And look at the last. Verse 11. They pulled their boats up on the shore and left everything and followed him. Here's the fourth thing you can write down in that message. They made a commitment to be obedient to the call of God to share the gospel and win people to Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, have you put Christ first in your life? We have to follow him. You have to make him Lord of all that you are and all that you have. If you're going to be successful according to God's standards after you've experienced failure. I read one time about a lifeguard who was on duty at the beach. There was a young man who was out beyond where the waves were breaking. He was in trouble. Somebody came and reported him to the lifeguard, and the lifeguard didn't move. Other people were coming up to the lifeguard and said, "What in the world are you doing? That man's drowning. If you don't get out there now, he's going to lose his life out there." And the lifeguard said, "Well," he said, "right now he's fighting it." And he said, "If I go out there while he's panicked and I try to save him, he's going to probably carry both of us to our death. So," he said, "I'm going to let him get a little weaker." And he said, "Then I can swim out there. He'll follow my commands. And I can safely bring him to shore." Ladies and gentlemen, there are times when we're overconfident in our own strength and our own power. And guess what God lets us do? He lets us fail. And that way, we have to depend on him. And then there are other times when we fail simply because we just keep on believing in ourselves, our experience, our knowledge, and our own wisdom in the flesh. And he just lets us get weak until we can't fight against him anymore. And we surrender ourselves totally and completely to him. He allows us to experience success according to his standards, because what he does through us can only be explained by the power of Christ who lives within us. This is a fearful time that we're living in during the coronavirus. Some people have had their hours cut back. Some people have been furloughed. Some people have lost their jobs that they were in before COVID shut down. They've lost them permanently. Now, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you're not experiencing false guilt. What did I do wrong? Why did I lose my job? Why were my hours cut back? Because during this time, this is a crisis time. This is a pandemic time. For 99.9% of people who've experienced that, there's no reason to feel failure because it wasn't your fault. But I want you to know this is a time when we need to be dependent on God to get us through to the other side of this pandemic. One of the governors of one of our major states the other day came out and he said, I want you to know we've made progress in our state, but it is not due to the power of God. How blasphemous. But you know that that's where we are as a nation. That's one of our problems. We lost our awe and reverence and our fear for God. Ladies and gentlemen, he wants to do for you personally what he wants to do for this nation. He wants to bring success out of the failures that we experience, because in those failures, we learn to depend on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for meeting with us today. I thank you, Lord, for sending your Son so that we might be redeemed, because we were born with a sin nature. And because of that sin nature, spiritually, we're failures. And because of your Son's perfect life, his sacrificial substitutionary death on the cross and rising again, giving us the promise that we can be with you forever and ever, and whosoever calls on his name shall be saved, our lives are reconciled. Spiritual failure turned into a spiritual miracle of salvation and reconciliation forever. If you're listening today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, I'm asking you to invite him into your life. You may have experienced a failure at your work, at your school, in your marriage, or some other area of your life. Sometimes God just allows us to do that so we'll learn to just do what he wants us to do, and that's to trust him. Lord, thank you for those to whom you gave a divine appointment to come and be a part of this service and feast on your word today. And may we go into our places of work, places of commerce, places where we socialize with our friends, and help us to live like children of the King, overcomers, because Jesus allows us to experience victory. And Lord, we lift all this up to you in Christ's name. Amen. If you're listening today and you want to know how to trust Jesus as your Savior and Lord, if you just call us at 706-234-1841, and on Monday somebody will be glad to return your call. I hope you have a good week, and Lord willing, in his timing, we'll be open so we can come and worship together in spirit and in truth.